Today is the fifth day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. Grateful to be here with you today. Another day here around the global campfire, taking all the steps necessary, 365 of them, to lead us through everything that the Bible has to say and everything that we need to hear. So I'm glad. 20th, June 5th. Glad to be here with you. Glad that we can experience this together and move forward. And our moving forward today will bring us to the conclusion of 2 Samuel. So we've been working through 2 Samuel and the life of David. And it's kind of all getting summed up. We're getting a list of who the important people were. And who the warrior, like who the most elite, most loyal people to the king were. And one of the things we should notice is that one of the most loyal elite people to the king has a name, Uriah the Hittite. And that was so much of David's downfall, having this person so devoted to him killed to hide in the dark that he had taken his wife. And that choice, and then all of the deception that surrounded it, the pregnancy that resulted from it, the hiddenness of it, had David doing things that are unthinkable. But we'll notice that name as we conclude the book of 2 Samuel. And so, let's jump in. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 24 through 24, verse 25. Among the 30 were Joab's brother Asahel, Elanon, son of Dodo of Bethlehem, Shammah the Haradite, Elikah the Haradite, Elez the Peltite, Ira, son of Ikesh the Tekoite, Abiezer the Anatotite, Mubunai the Hushatite, Zalmon the Aoite, Maharai the Netophatite, Eleb, son of Beana, the Netophatite, Ittai, son of Ribai from Gibeah of the Benjaminites, Benaiah, the Piriathonite, Hiddai, from the Wadis of Gaash, Abi Albon, the Arbathite, Asmaveth, the Barumite, Eliba, the Shealbanite, the sons of Jashon, Jonathan, son of Shammah, the Hararite, Ahiam, son of Sharar, the Hararite, Eliphelet, son of Asbai, son of the Maacathite, Eliam, son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite, Hezro, the Carmelite, Beari, the Arbite, Egal, son of Nathan from Zobah, Bani, the Gadite, Zilek, the Ammonite, Naharai, the Berathite, the armor-bearer for Joab, son of Zeruiah, Ira, the Ithrite, Gareb, the Ithrite, and Uriah, the Hittite. There were 37 in all. The Lord's anger burned against Israel again, and he stirred up David against them to say, "Go, count the people of Israel and Judah." So the king said to Joab, the commander of his army, "Go through all the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and register the troops so I can know their number." Joab replied to the king, "May the Lord your God multiply the troops 100 times more than they are, while my lord the king looks on. But why does my lord the king want to do this?" Yet the king's order prevailed over Joab and the commanders of the army. So Joab and the commanders of the army left the king's presence to register the troops of Israel. They crossed the Jordan and camped in Arior, south of the town in the middle of the valley, and then proceeded toward Gad and Jazer. They went to Gilead and to the land of the Hittites, and continued on to Dan Jaan and around to Sidon. They went to the fortress of Tyre and all the cities of the Hivites and Canaanites. Afterward, they went to the Negev of Judah at Beersheba. When they had gone through the whole land, they returned to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. Joab gave the king the total of the registration of the troops. There were 800,000 valiant armed men from Israel and 500,000 men from Judah. David's conscience troubled him after he had taken a census of the troops. He said to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly in what I've done. Now, Lord, because I've been very foolish, please take away your servant's guilt." When David got up in the morning, the word of the Lord had come to the prophet Gad, David's seer. "Go and say to David, 'This is what the Lord says. I am offering you three choices. Choose one of them, and I will do it to you.'" So Gad went to David, told him the choices, and asked him, "Do you want 3 years of famine to come on your land? To flee from your foes 3 months while they pursue you? Or to have a plague in your land 3 days? Now consider carefully what answer I should take back to the one who sent me." David answered Gad, "I have great anxiety. Please let us fall into the Lord's hands, because his mercies are great, but don't let me fall into human hands." So the Lord sent a plague on Israel from that morning until the appointed time, and from Dan to Beersheba, 70,000 men died. And the angel extended his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it. But the Lord relented concerning the destruction and said to the angel who was destroying the people, "Enough. Withdraw your hand now." The angel of the Lord was then at the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. When David saw the angel striking the people, he said to the Lord, "Look, I am the one who has sinned. I am the one who has done wrong. But these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand be against me and my father's family." Gad came to David that day and said to him, "Go up and set up an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite." David went up in obedience to Gad's command, just as the Lord had commanded. Araunah looked down and saw the king and his servants coming toward him, so he went out and paid homage to the king with his face to the ground. Araunah said, "Why has my lord the king come to his servant?" David replied, "To buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord, so the plague on the people may be halted." Araunah said to David, "My lord, the king may take whatever he wants and offer it. Here are the oxen for a burnt offering, and the threshing sledges and ox yokes for the wood. Your majesty, Araunah gives everything here to the king." Then he said to the king, "May the Lord your God accept you." The king answered Araunah, "No, I insist on buying it from you for a price, for I will not offer to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 20 ounces of silver. He built an altar to the Lord there and offered burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. And the Lord was receptive to prayer for the land, and the plague on Israel ended. Acts 3. Peter and John were going up to the temple for the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. A man who was lame from birth was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple gate, called Beautiful, so that he could beg from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for money. Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, "Look at us." So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." And taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong. So he jumped up and started to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized that he was the one who used to sit and beg at the Beautiful gate of the temple. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him. While he was holding on to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astonished, ran toward them in what is called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he addressed the people, "Fellow Israelites, why are you amazed at this? Why do you stare at us as though we had made him walk by our own power or godliness? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and denied before Pilate, though he had decided to release him. You denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked to have a murderer released to you. You killed the source of life, whom God raised from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. So the faith that comes through Jesus has given him this perfect health in front of all of you. And now, brothers and sisters, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your leaders also did. In this way, God fulfilled what he had predicted through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Therefore, repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out, that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, who has been appointed for you as the Messiah. Heaven must receive him until the time of the restoration of all things, which God spoke about through his holy prophets from the beginning. Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. You must listen to everything he tells you, and everyone who does not listen to that prophet will be completely cut off from the people.' In addition, all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel and those after him, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your ancestors, saying to Abraham, 'And all the families of the earth will be blessed through your offspring.' God raised up his servant and sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your evil ways." Psalm 123, a song of ascents. I lift my eyes to you, the one enthroned in heaven. Like a servant's eyes on his master's hand, like a servant girl's eyes on her mistress's hand, so our eyes are on the Lord our God until he shows us favor. Show us favor, Lord. Show us favor, for we've had more than enough contempt. We've had more than enough scorn from the arrogant and contempt from the proud. Proverbs 16, 21 through 23. Anyone with a wise heart is called discerning, and pleasant speech increases learning. Insight is a fountain of life for its possessor, but the discipline of fools is folly. The heart of a wise person instructs his mouth. It adds learning to his speech. Okay, so as we conclude 2 Samuel, David makes this decision. Another kind of ill-fated one. He wants all of his troops counted. And on the face of it, it's like, yeah, you'd want to know that. But there's something going on here. Trust. Dependence. What David wants to know is what his power is. And that's why he's questioned about all this. What he has at his disposal in his own strength. And so the mission is done and accomplished with consequence. And that's where we land again. Choices have consequences for good or for evil or very, very difficult circumstances. And they get to matter in our lives. We get to make choices that matter. We get to create the life we are living. And it did come at consequence. A lot of people suffered because of a plague that David had chosen. Our choices affect other people. That's the example here. David's choice as the king of the people had consequences for those beyond himself. The effect of his choice affected negatively many people. We're left with one final glimpse and one final lesson as we conclude the book of 2 Samuel. And then when we flip over into Acts, I mean, when we move through the Gospels and spend our time with Jesus and his ministry on earth, we became accustomed to the things that he said, but also the signs and wonders, the miracles. In today's passage from Acts, we saw something remarkable. So Peter and John are visiting the temple for worship, and they encounter a lame man who's begging for money by the beautiful gate. And this isn't unusual. It's just how this plays out is unusual. Peter tells him, like, I don't have any money to give you, but what I do have, I will give you. Get up and walk in the name of Jesus. And he lifted the man up, and the man could walk. And he received a new life because of that. This is the first recorded miracle after Jesus departed. This happened without Jesus' physical presence, but his presence was total in the form of the Holy Spirit. And so what Jesus had said as the Christ was continuing exactly as he promised that it would and could. And so the healed man was leaping for joy, as you can imagine, which astonished the crowd who were in the temple complex, who know who this person is, who see him begging every day. And Peter takes the opportunity then again to share about Jesus in a fascinating way. He says, "Why are you so surprised about this?" That is a fair question for our own lives. Because Peter and John didn't have anything that we don't also have. And things were happening just like Jesus said. And we can go just to the miraculous signs and wonders. We, like, as human beings, we like really gravitate toward that kind of stuff. But in our personal lives, transformation, the giving of new life, what's so surprising about this? These apostles, they were doing what Jesus said in the situation that they were in. They were just doing what they were told. We should just be doing what we are told. It's not about leading with all of these signs and wonders that we gravitate toward. Those things follow those who believe in all kinds of contexts and in all kinds of ways, because God will work through those who are in covenant and loyal and faithful and in love and in relationship with Him. And so we are kind of that first miracle, the transformation of our story in our context. What would it be like if we actually believed? What if we didn't just read these stories as like metaphors or unique situations and just consider them to be examples of what it looks like to be transformed? Maybe this is a lot more wholeness and healing that is available if we trust and actually be transformed, not look like it, not stylize ourselves in a certain way that fits into a certain paradigm, but actually be changed. What is so surprising about this? As we dream of a life where nothing is impossible. So, Holy Spirit, there are a myriad of lessons for us to observe even in today's reading. Choices have consequences, and consequences are allowed. And yet, what's so surprising about redemption? And if we are transformed and change and turn away from choices that have consequences that are negative and affect a lot of people, what would become of us? We might start looking like we had hoped instead of stylizing ourselves to look like we're doing just fine. And so we open ourselves to you and invite you to help us open our eyes and see what that means to each of us in our own story. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app are home base for the Global Campfire community. And one's on the web and one's in the App Store, obviously. So check it out. Be connected. Stay connected. We're in this together. We're on the same ship sailing through the year. And so let's stay connected to the journey that we are on, that we gather and come together every day. And you can do that at the website or using the app. And I hope that you will. We are moving through our 20th year. And this is the 25th day of June. And so all year long, we're celebrating in different ways, commemorating this kind of milestone. It's hard for me to believe Daily Audio Bible is like one of the pioneering podcasts of podcasting. and certainly one of the longest running, and definitely the only 7-day podcast for all of these years. I can't even believe it, but it's true. And so here at this community around the Global Campfire, we're just marking that, remembering all the places that we've been brought from over the last 20 years. So we've got some things going on. Tomorrow, Jill and I are going to come on and talk some more about our journey. And we have very much enjoyed doing that. Something very, very unexpected, I think, in a musical sort of way that we'll be talking about and sharing part of our story from. But we also have these daily audio Bible caps with the 20th anniversary logo on them. And they are one of a kind things. They won't be like once they're gone. Everybody who wants to get one hopefully can, but once they're gone, they really are gone. And so certainly while you can, if it's something you even want to see or check into, go to the Daily Audio Bible shop or look at the shop in the Daily Audio Bible app and you can find them there. And so check them out. Supplies are very, very, very limited. And so check it out while you can. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, humbly, thank you. Deeply, thank you. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Well, the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button that's in the app. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian, and I love you, and I'm looking forward to it, actually. Looking forward to it deeply. I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, Mary Bell from Scotland. This is Taken with Love from Louisiana. Oh, my goodness, it was so exciting to hear you. I know that Daily Audio Bible is around the world, but we don't get very many people from Scotland calling in, so thank you. My prayer is for your son. I am going to lift him up right now before the throne of grace. Oh, Father, we praise you today from the north and the south and the east and the west. You are God Almighty. From the rising of the sun till the going down of the same, your name is worthy, worthy to be praised, and we praise you, Lord. Thank you for her 17-year-old son. I pray, Father, a hedge of protection over his mind, definitely over his body, and I bind up the lies that the enemy is sowing into his spirit. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that the epidemic that the enemy has put on our children, lying, deceiving, confusing them, it's not from you, Lord. And I'm asking you to annihilate it in Jesus' name. Give this young man hope beyond hope. May his mom be the one that can encourage him and strengthen him and show him in Jesus all things are possible. I love you, Lord. I praise you for Mary Bell calling in from Scotland. Bless her son. Give her the wherewithal to continue loving him like Christ loves the church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless y'all. Bye-bye.
Good morning again, DAB family. This is Sean in the United Kingdom. Just wanted to also pray for, lift up Pastor Brad, I believe it is, in New York. Was the pastor of Dr. John, I believe. So Father, I just want to thank you for Pastor Brad. Lord, I just thank you, Lord Jesus, firstly, that your name is above every other name, Lord God, and you are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Father, Pastor Brad, Lord God, your servant, Lord, who has devoted his life, you know, to spreading the good news of the gospel. And you said how beautiful are the feet of the mountain, beautiful are the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. Father, I just ask, Lord God, that you'd Lord God, Lord, you'd stem the plague of cancer in his life, oh God. We just ask that you choke it off in its root. And we speak to his body and, Lord, his spirit, Lord, we ask that you just strengthen him in his spirit. Strengthen him in his soul. Let him hear your voice saying, Brad, Pastor Brad, this is the way. Walk in it. Be strong. March on in Jesus' name. I pray for your peace that passes all understanding for him and his family and even his wife and two young children, Lord. We just plead the blood of Jesus over him. Ask that you just quicken him, Holy Spirit. Strengthen him. Strengthen him in this phase of his life, oh God. Be his comfort, Lord God, and Lord, let your healing works appear suddenly to him, Lord God, because you were bruised for his iniquities. By your stripes, he is healed. We thank you for peace that passes all understanding. May everything he needs in this season be supplied to him, we ask, according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family, this is the Weave, first-time caller, long-time listener. I'm one of those guys who prays in the background every day for everybody, every time I hear a prayer request. And now it's calling in because, I have one myself. I had my first routine colonoscopy yesterday morning. Doctor found a mass in my colon, had a biopsy, had blood work done. Don't know anything about the biopsy yet. It's the weekend, so I won't know until next week. I got an appointment next week for all of that, so I'll know more then. My blood work did come back normal, so I'm hoping, praying that's a good thing. And I'm just calling in, ask prayers. I think you guys could just reach out and just pray over my family, pray over me as we walk through this. I don't know if it's cancer or not. It could just, you know, I don't know. So I have more questions than anything right now. So, but if you guys could pray and just lift it up, I would appreciate it. I thank you. Love you guys. God bless. Take care.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible family. It's Sheena from Saskatchewan calling in another day of praying scripture over legal situations. Psalm 19, 13 and 14. Father God, we lift up to you today Jorge and the angst and anxiety he's feeling in his transition out of prison. Father, we pray that you protect him from sin. Don't let them control Jorge. Remind him that he is free in you and innocent from great sin. May the words of his mouth and the meditation of his heart be pleasing to you. Father, you are his rock and his redeemer. Father, we pray for your favor, open doors and protection from evil. Calm his mind from destructive thoughts and remind him that he's loved and has so much to give this world. We pray for the right Christian brothers and sisters to come around him, to love on him in tangible ways. Father, bless Jorge, and may he be the love of light and Jesus to others. We also thank you so much for the praise report that Jorge has called in already, and we're so grateful that you have provided him with a job. We just ask you to continue to bless him and keep him and make your face shine upon him. We ask all these things in your son's precious name. Amen. Love you, Jorge.